We've been studying the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to begin with verse 11. In the end times, how many believe we're living in the end times? Yes. Satan is going to use two wicked personalities to come against God and his people. One is the Antichrist, referred to as the beast rising up out of the sea in chapter 11 or chapter 13, and the false prophet, who is the beast rising up out of the earth. And we're going to read from chapter 13 of Revelation, beginning with verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, we had previously discussed this and read about this, how this son of perdition, this Antichrist, is going to suffer a deadly wound. Now, either it's a literal death and he's resurrected, or it's going to be a mock death and have the appearance as though he had died and was raised to life again, so that he will deepen the deception of those who are on the planet at this time, at that time in history. And so it says, he exercises, verse 12, all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So what is his purpose? His purpose is to get people to worship the Antichrist, or the first beast. Verse 13, he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So we have the beast or the Antichrist, we have the false prophet, and now we have this image of the beast. In verse 16 it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Holy Father, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would unveil our eyes to receive the revelation of this book of Revelation tonight, Lord. Sow it into our hearts with understanding, and Lord, transform us by it. Change our minds, change our thinking, that we might be in alignment with you, Lord, that we might be holy unto you, that we might be integrated into you, Lord, as your own special people. Those who have been called out have been separated for your purposes. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. So this is a man that comes out of the earth. He has two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So this is certainly symbolic of a being who causes people to worship the Antichrist. Now, when God sent prophets to his people, he confirmed these prophets that he sent, like such as Moses, right, and Elijah, through miracles. God is also confirming his word today through those of us who walk in obedience to him. We don't chase after signs and wonders, but signs and wonders will follow those. Amen? Amen. Who pursue the Lord. And so God sent these prophets to confirm them and through the miracles. And Satan also has a certain amount of power. And he empowers his false prophet to do these lying signs and wonders, these miracles. And the ability to do signs and wonders is not always proof that a person is of God or right with God. And this is a word for me tonight as well. I know that at times God uses me this way, but just because I have an anointing does not mean that I'm right with God necessarily. I know that I'm right with God tonight. Let me just clarify that. However, we have to be very careful when it comes to the holy things of God. Amen?
Yes.
That we do not compromise with our adversary in any way. That we don't put ourselves into the position of thinking that somehow we're above all reproach. We all make mistakes. Now, I'm not up here confessing that I have made a mistake or I'm in immorality or something of that nature. Okay? But I make mistakes, and so do we all. The important thing is this, is that all of us have humility of heart so that we will receive correction. Because God gives His true grace to the humble. And true humility, folks, is not always necessarily by appearance only. There are those who have the appearance of being humble. There are clergy who have the appearance of being humble. And there are some who walk in a false humility. But true humility really means strength under control. A horse is a good example of humility, isn't it? A very strong animal that can stomp you to death. But a horse can be broken and can be brought into a position or a place where it can be utilized, amen, as a tool for its owner, for its master. So you and I have a lot of liberty, and we have a lot of power within ourselves to do pretty much whatever we want. Why? Because God gave us a free will. But humility is you and I taking who we are, our abilities, our strengths, our talents, and placing them under the authority of Father God. Okay? So that we can be a vessel that He can use. He can utilize us. So we have to be very careful that we, all of us, maintain a teachable spirit.
Yes. Yes.
That we don't ever get to a place where we arrive. Because that is the beginning point of a fall. And so this false prophet is going to have the ability to perform lying signs and wonders. And so as much as I love miracles, as you know, we love the gifts of the Spirit, we also have to exercise caution with these things. Because the enemy is a very close counterfeiter. And by the way, I am not pointing a finger at anybody in here tonight. I'm making general statements for the body of Christ. Okay? That we have to be careful in our zeal for spiritual things. There needs to be judgment on prophecy. These things need to be brought into the light. Paul gave instruction to the Corinthian church that let 2, 3 prophesy and let the others judge. Whatever we do as believers is not to be done in the closet. It's to be done in the light. Because there's safety in the light. And there's safety in the body of Christ. I need you, you need me. And I should never, as a pastor, get into a place where I can't receive correction as well. Because when I get to a place, or if I get to a place where I can't receive correction, I stop growing. And I'm also setting myself up for a fall. And we have all seen examples of that on a large scale from some of the real generals that have been out there in the kingdom, where they got to a place in their life, in their ministry, and in their thoughts, because the enemy had duped them to believe that somehow they were above it all. Richard Dortch wrote a book called Fatal Conceit, and he spoke about how things spun out of control. Here was a man who had a heart after God, was very zealous for the Lord, worked very hard in the ministry, and then came the recognition and the praises of men and the money and the power that came with his position. And he began to fall into the trap of Satan. And this is what he talks about in his book. And he put this book out as a warning to you and I, that also as God, you know, entrusts us with his riches and allows us to be part of his ministry, and as we are raised up by him, we have to be very careful. We remember the example in the Old Testament of Saul, who, you know, when he began, the Bible says that he was small in his own eyes. And when he was small in his own eyes, he was great. But when Saul became puffed up, when he became proud, then he fell. We see that with Solomon. We see that with others. Hezekiah, when he stopped giving back to God. When he started to boast, got to a place where he actually started boasting about his riches, boasting about his position, boasting about, basically that's what he was doing. When he brought the Babylonian envoys in, remember? And he started saying, have showed him everything. And the Lord says, you're going to lose it all because of your arrogance. Because it was not of you, it was of God, and he deserved the glory for it. Who are we? But we are but vessels. That's why we don't run after Apollos. We don't run after Kephas, right? Or Kephas. We chase after Jesus, right? As leaders in the church, we are to be examples to the flock. We are not to control people's lives. We're to be an example, and we're to lead the way. So follow me as I follow Christ. And I don't have to tell you this, but if I get off course, don't follow me there. But we have to be careful, because we're just people. And we're fallible. He's the one who's infallible. And so we need to be very careful, even with our leaders and the people that we respect, that we know where to draw the line. And we know where we stand, and we know what this book says. Because the spirit of Antichrist is very active today, and it counterfeits, and sometimes it presents itself, in fact, often it does, as something that is beautiful and good. The devil does not come, as you've heard it said, you know, in this red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He appears as a beautiful angel of light. He is a beautiful being, folks. He was the anointed cherub. And that's why evil can be very seductive and deceptive, because it often appears beautiful on the outside. And so we need to pray that God will continually give us discernment and that which we allow or disallow in our lives. When I listen to a message, I keep the good and I spit out the bones. You know? And just because a minister misses on a doctrinal point does not make him the Antichrist. Thank God for that. Or because we make mistakes. It doesn't make us an enemy. It just means that we're fallible and we can make mistakes. And that's why I always encourage that you just know what the book says. Amen?
Yes.
And know the mind of Christ. Pray for His mind, His understanding. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-23, "And many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And Jesus said, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" In other words, they lived in rebellion, actually were in rebellion to God. Now, this could mean either that they had a different spirit altogether and they simply used Jesus' name, or they actually carried an anointing from the Lord, but their life was lawless. They were not living in obedience. I tend to go with the second part of that, the second interpretation of that. Where just because we have an anointing does not mean necessarily that we're walking right. But I also believe here we'll see the lying signs and wonders. How many know that the enemy is very active? And he's doing everything he can to infiltrate the churches. And he speaks great swelling words and he allures people. You know, he's an expert politician. He knows how to dress it up to look so good. Does that sound familiar? But anybody, any lawyer can sound good when they're presenting one side of the case. And if you only hit one side of the case, sometimes you can be completely convinced until you hear the other side of the case. And there's a door that I didn't even know that was there. And so the message is this, is that we are living in perilous times. We're living in times of great deception. You know, I think if we just keep pursuing Jesus, we're going to be okay.
Yes.
Stay in His presence, stay in His Word. Amen. And remain accountable.
Yes. Yes.
Remain accountable.
Yes.
I don't like being corrected, but you know what? It's necessary at times. Ask Jesus. People who love you will tell you the truth. We don't do it out of spite or hate or to get back at somebody. You know, if somebody gives me some correction, you know, I'm very careful usually to bite my tongue and not start to say, okay, well, what about this in your life and that in your life, okay? What I need to do is say, thank you very much. You love me enough to tell me the truth. And even if it's done in the wrong spirit, still thank Him that you still got the information that's able to help you. I have found the best way to even get the devil out of your life is if he's speaking the truth about your fallacy or your weaknesses, say, thank you, devil. Now I can repent and get that right with God. He may do it to condemn you. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Even the Pharisees at Jesus' day, remember? He says, if what they tell you is true, obey it. But don't after their works. Don't live according to their, you know, their lifestyle. They were hypocrites. But it says in verse 11 that this false prophet, he had what? Two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. In other words, he appears to be gentle and peaceful. Gentle and peaceful, like a lamb, but his speech is controlled by Satan. Wow. I have also discovered that the enemy does not always speak angrily or in a nasty way. Sometimes he speaks as smooth as oil. And so we just need to judge everything by the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
and pray and ask the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to reveal to us what is true. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 says, "And Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Now verse 12 says, "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast." This false prophet is going to exercise the authority of the first beast in his presence. "And he causes the earth," listen, "and those who dwell in it to worship the Antichrist," the first beast, "whose deadly wound was healed." Here again, it's pointing to this same beast with the deadly wound that was healed. Now, how many have heard of the unholy Trinity? We have the Holy Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in here in Revelation, you actually see an unholy Trinity. You see the dragon, who is Satan. You see the Antichrist, who is basically a false Christ, right? And then the false prophet, who would be like the Holy Spirit, but he's an unholy spirit. And so what does he do? He imitates. Satan imitates God. He imitates the Godhead. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition or the son of destruction. And another name for him, what it really means is son of Satan. So Jesus is the son of God, but the Antichrist is a false Jesus. And to many who are deceived, they are going to believe that he is Jesus. The Buddhists, the Muslims, they're all waiting for the Christ. And I believe that this Antichrist is going to embody all of these. He's going to become, you know, the fifth Buddha. He's going to become the Muslim Christ. He's going to become the Mahdi. Thank you. He's going to become Jesus to those who have been deceived. Now, the Bible says those who have been deceived are those who did not love the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lawlessness, you see, can lead to deception. When a person does not repent of sin and they persist in rebellion to God, there comes a time when God lets that person go. He strives with man. God is patient and he's long-suffering. But there comes a time if a person persists to rebel against the Spirit of God, that God lets them off, he lets them go to a reprobate mind. And the Bible says in Thessalonians that some will actually believe the lie, that they may be condemned because they did not receive the love of the truth when it was presented. God loves us enough to tell us the truth. And the truth doesn't always feel good, but the truth is so good for us. Yes. Because the truth sets us free. We come into the light, and everything we do is in the light. You see, the enemy can't hide as long as everything's in the light. Isn't that true? So here, this false prophet is going to be obviously a false, you know, a representative of the false Christ. And already in the world, we know there are many claiming to be Jesus Christ, claiming to be, you know, this and this great man and this great woman, this guru, whoever. And they're deceiving many. And it just baffles me that even very intelligent people, educated people, are following after these crazy men that are demon-possessed. Do you want to know why? Because they have demonic power. So intellect, folks, is not enough. You need the Spirit of God. You need the power of God. That's why we must stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So your eyes will remain open. That's why you need the light of God's Word. When the truth comes in, the lie cannot stay. And so, this unholy Trinity being represented here, it says that the false prophet is going to mark those who worship Satan. And he, verse 13, The false prophet performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Well, that's something that Elijah did. So when people see these types of miracles happening, and I don't know how many have seen some of the things that are happening in the world today and how far some of you have been into the occult and have seen some pretty amazing things happen in that world. I've seen some things in that world, and there are false people and false Christs, and they are doing these miracles. They're able to make themselves disappear even, and these types of things. Even this Lord Maitreya dude that some people are following after. I don't know if how many have ever heard of Lord Maitreya, but he's also been able, they say, to call fire down from heaven. This could be him. We don't know. I'm not going to sit around and try to put a jigsaw to puzzle to figure out who the Antichrist is. All I know is that we can identify every false Antichrist because of their works, because of the things that they speak. If their speech does not line up with the Spirit of grace, with the Word of God, they're not of Christ. And any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Any spirit that denies that Jesus Christ is God is not of the true God. And that's how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of Antichrist. And it says in verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, listen, I want you to hear this, to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and healed and lived. Or was wounded and lived. Now, how many remember Daniel? Does that anybody track in so far with that, right? Do you remember anybody else that happened to do the same thing in history? Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel chapter 3, he in verse 1 it says he made this great image of gold. And it says a herald cried, went out in verse 4, and it says to the peoples, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages. In other words, the people were all together at that place. And there was this king over Babylon. And he had great power and great influence. And he made it a law. He put it into law. He decreed that everyone must, when they hear the sound, and let me read it to you, of the music, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, a symphony of all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And we all know about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? The three in the fiery furnace who were delivered by a fourth man. Because they would not bow down to the image and the idol made of gold. Well, what we're going to see, folks, in what we see in type, and the day of Nebuchadnezzar is going to happen once again on a world scale. And this is going to be the final, I believe, battle. It's going to lead up to the final battle. And it was granted, verse 15, power to give breath to the image of the beast. So here, there's this image, whether it's going to be a statue. We can speculate. There are many different ways of looking at this. But it says that the image of the beast should both speak. So here it is, an image that speaks. Almost sounds like television, doesn't it? And cause as many as would not worship the beast to be killed. So what's happening is God is permitting a power here that's not found anywhere else in Scripture. It's being allowed to take place where this Antichrist is allowed to give breath to this image, to speak, to command worship, and also to mete out capital punishment to those who refuse to worship the image of the beast. Now, listen, money, politics, and religion have come together. How many know that that's happening again? Money, politics, and religion are coming together. And we're living in perilous times. I believe we're living in these last days. And religion has come together and Satan is calling the shots on the world scale. Now, some have suggested this image could be a supercomputer. Okay? Computer technology. And even an integration, and I have actually saw some reports of this even back in the late 80s where they were experimenting with human tissue and computer technology to integrate them into one, to create life. But it would be an artificial intelligence. Obviously, only God has the power, amen, to create true life. But through a manipulation of the cells and the tissue and an integration of technology into this, they're working on creating this android, if you will, that will be just like a real person, except that this thing will have such intelligence, such computer, potential to outthink anybody on planet Earth. Right now they have computers that are able to do that. And if you think about this in Japan, they've been working with this technology to create a being, basically, that will be a computer, a personified computer that will look like a person that will actually speak. They've had robots that will mimic. But their goal is to have actually created their own being.
Like a Terminator.
Like a Terminator kind of thing. And isn't it interesting that often things that are science fiction today become fact tomorrow? Space travel, things that, you know, we didn't dream about years. Technology is just, it's amazing. Knowledge is definitely increasing. So anyways, in verse 16 it says that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Now, all of us probably in this place have heard all kinds of interpretations of this. It was Ronald Reagan. It was Gorbachev. It was, you know, Nero. I mean, just throughout history, you know, of people that they thought Hitler, you know, was the Antichrist. Well, they were certainly types of. I'm not saying Ronald Reagan was, but Hitler certainly was. Amen? Better clarify that, right? But whatever it is, folks, it says that the unbelievers are going to have to take this mark in the right hand or in, not upon, but in the forehead. And what it's going to be, and it's going to be some type of identification mark or mark of ownership. And I know that they've been, you know, discussing the, and they're already doing it in some places, of putting, you know, computer chip technology, what they call transponders, into people. In, interesting enough, the right hand and in the forehead. They've practiced on animals, and they've been doing it, I've heard, with prisoners in Russia. And in some places with children. I don't have any facts to substantiate that. These are just things that I've read in some of the research. But there's talk about having a permanent ID chip so that people are no longer, you know, when you lose your ID card or get your ID gets stolen, or what they may use as a means of bringing this in is also terrorism. In order to have everybody accounted for, to know who's who, we'll just mark everybody on planet Earth. And so terrorism is kind of expediting that. Because we don't know half of the people on the planet right now, where they're coming from, where they're going. So they want to make something permanent so that through computer technology they can track anybody anywhere on planet Earth, even if they were to go under the ocean or into a deep cave. They have technology now through satellite to do these things. And I would encourage you never to take the mark. Never take the mark. The Bible says that those who do this will have done it knowingly, because it says they will not be able to buy or sell. In other words, you won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to buy food.
If you have the mark?
If you don't take it, you won't be able to. And this is going to be really this. And I'm hoping the rapture occurs before that happens. And if my theology is correct, I'm not going to be here. But if I'm incorrect in my theology about when Jesus is going to take us out of here, we're still not going to take the mark, right? We're not going to receive it. And guess what? Even if you hunger and you die of hunger in this world, you're never going to be hungry again in heaven. You're never going to thirst again in heaven. And what God has waiting for us there is so much better. So no matter what, we're going to listen to what God said. And I don't believe, folks, and let me just say this, that it's going to be an accidental thing. Like, oops, I got a microchip under me. Because if it's just a microchip, you could probably dig it out of your hand. There has to be a rejection of the true Christ. And there has to be a pledge of allegiance to the false Christ. You can't worship God and Satan at the same time. So there's two camps. God is sealing those. The Holy Spirit seals those who belong to Him. But those who reject the love of the truth, guess what? The false prophet, who is the false, if you will, spirit, is going to mark those with his mark. And there will be a distinction between the sheep and the goats. There will be a distinction between those who are of God and those who are not. And so as for me and my house, we have determined that we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to preach the truth. Whether it's popular or not, I'm going to tell people just what God gives me to say. You know what? God, there's no room for cowards in the kingdom. Would you say amen to that?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the cowardly will not enter into the city through the gates. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because we don't have what it takes to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. You must pray. You must walk with Jesus. You must obey His voice, obey His word. And if you do that, God will make sure that you're taken care of through it all. Through it all. So we don't receive the mark of ownership from the Antichrist. Now Jesus said in Luke 16 verse 13, I'm almost through by the way, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else, has anybody beside myself discovered that it doesn't work living a double life? So why don't you do yourself a favor and just completely give your heart to Jesus and go all the way. I mean, just go all the way. Or else he's going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. And in this case, we're seeing that it's going to come down to people's riches sometimes. It's going to come down to food on the table. How many know that God can make food appear on your table?
Oh, yes.
Amen. How many know that God can multiply the fishes and the loaves?
Yes.
To feed a multitude. We don't have to worry about those things. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hallelujah, for the joy set before us. We're willing to endure whatever life dishes us out because we know that He's waiting for us at the end and He's going to have a smile on His face. He's going to say, well done. So it's really impossible to list the number of suggestions as to what 666 is. But it certainly points to the worship of the beast. The number for God is 7 throughout Scripture. Number of perfection. And so 6 is really the number of man who really falls short, amen, of God's glory. And I believe, folks, it really is a form also. Idolatry is a form of self-worship. Because what you do is you fashion a god to suit yourself, right? And you refuse to worship the true God of heaven, and we say, well, to me, God's going to be like this. And some people, as you know, go as far as to fashion something and bow down to it. Some people don't actually fashion something with their hands. Some people have idols in their minds. They form a god in their own mind and their own imagination. In other words, I want God to be like this, so this is what God's going to be like for me. That's idolatry. That is putting yourself before God. It's self-worship. And how many know that that's what the message of the New Age is today? Self-worship. You are your own Christ. You're your own God. There's nothing new about the New Age, is it? It's the same lie of Satan in the very beginning. Oh, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. He always comes with an offering, I want you to hear this, of secret knowledge. If you follow after me, you'll get the secret knowledge. I'll let you in on the inside. But you got to go through this maze, this obstacle course to get there. Satan always draws in with something that looks beautiful on the outside. But as you get deeper into it, it begins to shift. It begins to morph into something that's ugly and hideous. Yes. And before you know it, you can be caught up. I know personally, you can get caught up into it and not even realize it until it's too late. And what he does is he offers people power, and he mimics the Holy Spirit even. And so that people think that they're actually maybe doing God a favor. Huh? How many know that Saul thought he was doing God a favor? How many know that the terrorists are thinking they're doing God a favor? And to the point where now you think that you have power. You think that you have control and that you can control these entities. And all of a sudden they say, uh-uh, the table has turned, and now you will do our bidding. And people are being forced to do things, because if they don't, they will torment them until they do. It's why people will actually murder and say, God told me to do it. It's a false spirit. It's a lot here, but we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just mention one more thing while I'm putting it out here. From some actually reports I had, I looked for them, I couldn't find them, but I had a stack of documents, government documents that had, you know, been released or leaked, whatever. Somebody had given to me years ago at a Bible prophecy conference that I went to. I think it's, maybe you know about this, Frank, but it was an 18-digit number. It's an 18-digit international number, ID number, that every citizen on planet Earth has through census and through ways that they're coming to know who's who when you buy, when you get a credit card, when you go for your license. There's ways that all these things, believe me, folks, they know. And you're not going to be able to hide very long from Big Brother. So you might as well just go full bore for Jesus. Maximize the moments. Advance the kingdom. Win as many souls as you can. Amen? We're all going to die someday anyways. You might as well go out with a bang, right? We should not fear death, because for us to die, to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. You only die once. Hallelujah. We're already dead, and that's right. And we're alive in Christ, aren't we? Amen. The only thing that has to fall off is this body. That's all. That's right. That's right. Jeremiah 17. Just want to finish with this. Verse 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord. Would you listen just for a moment? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the wilderness, in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land which is not inhabited. That doesn't sound very good to me. That's what it's like, folks, to put your trust in people, especially when it has to do with the affairs of your soul. Your future, folks, is in the hands of the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord with your future, with your days. I don't know about you, but I think we've all been disappointed in men at least once, right?
Amen.
Okay. And if you hang around long enough in this body on the earth, you're going to be disappointed again. And don't put somebody in the position of being your personal guru or holy man or whatever it is, because even those people will let you down. Shift away from people. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about Him. Hallelujah. And then it says, blessed, however, verse 7, is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Sounds refreshing. Which spreads out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year or worry in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. God wants us to be a well-watered garden that continues to bear fruit. Amen? And we just do that by abiding in Jesus. Go all the way. If you're on the fence tonight, if you're just doing a halfway thing, just go all the way with Jesus. Because anything less than that is not going to work for you. God wants you to have an abundant life. An abundant life is being in Him who is abundant. Walking with Him who has it all. Amen? And whether you have a nickel in this world, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you build up and store up yourself treasures in heaven. Yes. Amen? And you can leave the mortgage to the Antichrist. All right. God bless you. Would you stand? Thank you for coming.